Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. Welcome to Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. And the big question is, who's to blame for the shooting death of Helena Hutchins on the set of the Alec Baldwin movie Rust? The actor himself held the gun and pulled the trigger. Is he responsible? Baldwin and the crew were rehearsing a scene when he pulled the trigger and a live bullet went through Helena Hutchins, who was behind the camera. She was director of photography. And another assistant director, Joel Souza, was shot, but he luckily survived. When you look closely at this tragedy, you'll see it was, like my friend Jeff Lewis says, a perfect storm. One of the crew on set called this, quote, a mixture of negligence and unprofessionalism. So let's take a close-up look at what went wrong, who went wrong, with two experts, Jeff Lewis and criminal defense attorney Michael Rosen.
This is the firearm we believe discharged the bullet. We also believe that we have the spent shell casing from the bullet that was fired from the gun. The actual lead projectile that was fired has been recovered from the shoulder of Mr. Souza. The projectile was recovered by medical personnel where he was being treated and turned over to the sheriff's office as evidence. We regard this specific spent casing and recovered projectile to be the live round that was fired from the revolver by Mr. Baldwin.
My special guest today to take a really up-close look at the tragedy of the shooting in which Alec Baldwin was involved are veteran homicide detective Jeff Lewis and veteran criminal defense attorney Michael Rosen. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Jeff, let's start with what we do know about this case.
Well, basically what we know is that on Thursday, October 21st, sometime in the afternoon around 1:30, 2 o'clock, Alec Baldwin was on the set of his movie called Rust. And he had taken it upon himself to practice drawing this firearm from his holster and initially pointed at a camera that was directed towards him. Well, at the camera were two individuals, Helena Hutchins, who was the director of photography, and a director, Joel Souza. And while they were standing there, he now draws this firearm, points it at them, and fires what turns out to be one live round. The round, unfortunately, kills Mrs. Hutchins and ends up, I believe, in the shoulder of Mr. Souza. They recovered that round subsequently after that. Well, obviously, the police were called, medics were called, and as a result, you have one deceased person and you have one individual that was that suffered a single gunshot wound. Once that story blew up, then, of course, everybody took an interest in it, and everybody's weighing in as to what occurred and what shouldn't have occurred. And it appears that based on the information that I've learned and that everybody's learned, that many mistakes were made.
They retrieved the bullet from Joel Souza's shoulder. How can one bullet go through two people? It went into Helena Hutchins' stomach and then Joel Souza's shoulder. And the investigators recovered that bullet, figured out it was a live round. That also means the gun had to be a real gun and wasn't a prop gun.
Well, first of all, when we say prop gun can be a real gun.
Okay.
With a prop gun, what they're supposed to do is modify the prop gun so that it cannot fire live rounds. So you can only put blanks or dummy rounds into a so-called prop gun. Apparently, this was a real gun that had not been modified that was loaded with live ammo. When you're talking about a 45 caliber round, that's a pretty decent sized round, and it takes a good amount of gunpowder to send that round out of the chamber, out of the barrel of the gun, downrange, actually towards these two victims. It's not uncommon for somebody to get shot and the round actually exits the body. That happens a lot. So in this particular case, it exited, entered through her stomach, exited somewhere through her back, and then entered into his shoulder. And that's where it stopped. If this would have been nobody behind her, that round would have exited her. Well, they never might have found that round because it could have kept going. And that happens a lot on outside scenes where inside of a house, you'll have a dead person and you'll find that round has gone through the person. You'll find it on the floor somewhere else where it bounces around. So that's not uncommon. One of the safety procedures that they're supposed to do anytime you fire towards a camera, number one, you never fire directly at the camera. You fire kind of like cockeyed. Number two, the people behind the camera are supposed to have goggles on and they're supposed to be behind some kind of plexiglass. Because even when you fire a blank, you're going to have wadding that's going to be expelled from the firearm as well. So that you have to protect yourself. So if you don't follow any of those procedures, this is what you get.
Talk to me about the experience or lack thereof of the armorer. I don't want to slam her because she's 24 years old. She had, however, recently done an interview where she's quoted as saying, gee, you know, I wasn't sure I was going to take this job. I don't really know this much about it, et cetera, et cetera. And as we know, several union crew members had walked off a day or so earlier, five of them, but they weren't necessarily complaining about safety. They were complaining about bad housing and bad pay. So this was a low budget production.
Apparently, this young lady had maybe one other movie under her belt, and there were problems with that movie where she was firing either blanks or rounds at that movie and upset Nicolas Cage. So yeah. Now they bring her on board, and she made comments that she didn't think she was capable of being an armorer. They brought her on board anyway. So now you put her in a position to do this particular job, and what qualifications does she have? And this will be part of the investigation. What kind of certification does she have? What kind of training does she have? How many weapons has she handled? So they're going to go ahead and delve into her background and find out all of that information, as well as they have already done. They've interviewed her to find out her side of the story. So yeah, that was a big part of this fiasco, was maybe her inexperience, in my opinion.
Let's also talk about Dave Halls, the assistant director. He got fired in 2019 from another picture for the exact same occurrence. And just recently, like yesterday, he admitted in an affidavit that he didn't check the gun carefully before he called gun and gave it to Alec Baldwin. So, I mean, do you not learn? You get fired off a picture because a live round went off, and the second time you do the exact same thing. If you were the detective in charge of this, what would you do?
Obviously, you got to look at all the circumstances involved in this case. And I know Michael is going to get into the charges and such. But at this point in time, there's enough recklessness here where somebody has died. I wouldn't feel uncomfortable charging him, particularly based on his past activities. And again, you know, part of this process, what kind of training has he had? You know, that whole chain of command. Everybody has to be cleared of with the background checks to see what their status is as well. And the other thing, and you got to talk about the firearm here, okay? This firearm has many moving parts for a revolver. And when you look at it, when you check the cylinder and you check each chamber, he said he saw three rounds, right?
Yep.
This is the kind of firearm that when you open it up, you can only see one chamber at a time. It has a cover that you pull back, and you have to half cock it, and you have to rotate that cylinder to make sure that there's no rounds in the firearm. Well, if you lose count, if you think you counted six and you only counted five, you've left a round in there. If you don't pay close attention to these types of guns when you're handling them, you're going to miss a round. And it is the most common thing I've heard as a homicide detective when I've handled suicides is, we thought it was unloaded. We took the rounds out. Well, you didn't take them all out because you left one in the chamber. That's the one that killed the person that put the gun to their head and pulled the trigger. And that's on a cylinder that you can see fully, most of these guns today. This is an Old West type gun. This gun was carried by Wyatt Earp. This is the kind of firearm they use in the Wild West, okay? And it's a single action six-shot gun. So it takes a lot to fire that weapon. You just don't pull the trigger. You got to cock the hammer. The cylinder has to rotate. The rounds have to align, and it has to. Then you pull the trigger to shoot it. So there's a lot of things that have to happen with clearing it, checking it, make sure it's safe, and then shooting this firearm.
If you were to charge anyone, it would be negligence, what would you do?
If I was going to charge anybody, you'd have to charge at least three people. The armorer, Hannah Reed. You'd have to charge David Halls. And you'd have to charge Alec Baldwin. Ultimately, he's the one that violated the rules to the max, so to speak, by pulling that gun, pointing it at individuals. You're not even supposed to do that when it's got dummy rounds in it or fake rounds. So the reckless negligence of him alone pulling the trigger is enough for me to charge all three. Now, I'm not the defense attorney here, and Michael will handle this, but having handled and having seen other extreme cases of accidental deaths, including the Value Jet crash that killed 110 people, they charged the people that loaded that airplane with murder, 110 counts. They were found not guilty.
Michael.
Disagree. Here's what I think. Halls and Gutierrez Reed are prime subjects. I think Alec Baldwin is a victim. I think he's a victim, actually an emotional victim, of their misconduct. I think he had an absolute and reasonable right to rely on their responsibilities and the announcement of a cold gun. Because I think what you're doing is you're excluding the protocol that takes place in every movie, that he would have a reason to rely upon that. But let me go back. So I went back and studied the New Mexico laws, you know, to be able to do this podcast and also to kind of educate myself. So to educate the jury, our jury of listeners, first degree murder in New Mexico requires willful, deliberate, and premeditated conduct. I would suggest that is not what we have here.
I agree with that.
All right. So that takes us to manslaughter. So manslaughter is defined in New Mexico as the unlawful killing of a human being without malice. Well, we're pretty close on Halls and Gutierrez Reed. When you study the laws a little further, what this really is, at least in my judgment, is this. Involuntary manslaughter is manslaughter committed in the commission of a lawful act. This was a lawful act, which might produce death in an unlawful manner or without due caution and circumspection. So I would suggest to you that Halls and Gutierrez Reed, by their conduct, are, I don't want to say guilty, but responsible and could, I think, properly be charged with involuntary manslaughter. Interestingly enough, the punishment, fourth degree felony, 18 months incarceration, and a $5,000 fine. So there is not a heavy tone to this for involuntary manslaughter in the state of New Mexico, which then got me thinking, okay, what is the definition of negligence? Because one might argue that to a prosecutor, look, they were negligent, but they were not criminally acting. And that is, does one person owe a duty of care to another? I think that's reasonable here. Whether a failure of that duty was the direct cause of the injury, I think that's fair. So when I break this down legally, I would say that the armorer, who I think clearly failed in her responsibilities, and Hall, which apparently as an assistant director, one of his responsibilities was to check the firearms, meet the criteria for involuntary manslaughter and also for negligence. I don't think Alec Baldwin does any of that, quite frankly. I really see him as a victim. But the other two people, two categories that I keep thinking about are the crew and the producers and the directors. Because the crew, and you know, best by what I've been able to assess so far, there's been 100 people identified and 23 of them have been interviewed. So, you know, you're going to talk to everyone, but leaving live rounds, what the hell? I mean, you know, there's just zero justification for that. So the idea of negligence will be culpable there. But the directors and the producers have an obligation before they hire to do a due diligence background on the people you're hiring. The culpability of the crew and the producer and the director, even if not criminally charged, there's going to be a lot of lawsuits coming down out of this thing.
That's a great point. And when I look at a case, or when these detectives are looking at this case, there's the what we call the totality of the circumstances, right? Part of this whole situation is the fact that they were target shooting at night or at some point in time. Now, the question is, Who was target shooting? Was Alec Baldwin target shooting? Who knew about it? Who didn't know about it? Who participated in it? And when they were target shooting, were they drinking beers? Were they smoking dope? Were they doing these kind of things? This is all going to come out.
I'll ask one more question, Jeff. Why were they target shooting? Why were they allowed to target shoot? Who on earth brought in a live round?
And this is why I bring Alec Baldwin back into it. He's the man that's running the ship. He's in charge. No, he's
the executive producer. He's the big honcho.
Okay. Bottom line is he's one of the top bosses, so to speak.
Yes,
on set,
correct.
Right? So he has to take some culpability and responsibility, number one, for allowing that to occur. And number two, again, did he participate in any of that? Did he use this particular gun in any of that target shooting? Okay. Questions that I want to know. Now, also, aside from the state law in New Mexico, they have directions for every movie, safety directions on how you handle the firearms.
Yeah.
My understanding is that one of the priorities of the person that actually handles the gun is to clear it himself, to ensure it himself, because he's the last person that actually has the gun that's going to pull the trigger. So he's responsible, just like anybody on any firing range, like any police, like anybody, civilian, otherwise, that handles a firearm. Once it's in your hands, you are responsible for what happens with that gun. If somebody hands me a gun, okay, and says, hey, Jeff, this gun's unloaded, and I put the gun to my head and pull the trigger, who's at fault? Me, because I pulled the trigger, not the guy that gave me the gun. So you have to take that. That's why I said Baldwin can be charged, because he didn't clear the gun. He didn't make sure it was safe. And these are rules and regulations of the film industry. They may not be New Mexico law, but I think, again, when I look at the totality of the circumstances. Now, will the prosecutor look at it that way? I don't know, because you got to remember, they're the ones that are going to actually file the case.
Yeah.
And in this case, I know damn well they're not going to let me as a detective arbitrarily charge anybody. It's ultimately going to be the prosecutor that makes a charging decision. I'll write the arrest form. I'll put the handcuffs on them, but I'm not the one really making the decision here.
Well, I guess I forgot that Baldwin is, in fact, the executive producer. Then it is at his feet to make sure that the people that come in there are properly trained and properly vetted. There is responsibility there. I hear your argument about the guy who's pulling the trigger. And what I did read was that the scene called for the gun to be aimed at the camera.
Yeah.
As part of that particular scene. So could he, should he have stopped and said, listen, I'm not pulling the trigger until you are behind the proper protection or out of the way? Obviously he could. Does that mean he's criminally responsible for the fact that they didn't? I guess that's the argument to be made, right?
Well, my understanding is that they weren't even filming this. This was just him practicing.
Rehearsal.
They don't even have this on film because they weren't filming it. So why are you pulling a trigger of a firearm that you're not even sure is loaded or unloaded other than what you were told without checking that firearm, knowing damn well that when you're pointing it at people downrange, they're not behind any cover. They don't have any protection. That, again, is your responsibility to make sure that gun is not loaded. Because let me tell you something. If this case wasn't involving Alec Baldwin or anybody else, if this was a regular homicide that I handled, they would have been arrested that night. I don't even think twice about it. You're going to jail for murder. But because of these circumstances, now everybody wants to take their time to look at it, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But you see the difference between this being Alec Baldwin on a film set and this just being two civilians at a gun range acting stupid. Somebody's going to go to jail if you don't follow the safety precautions and procedures. Just like as a police officer, you know, when I go to the firing range, if I screw up, I could get fired. You know, we've had accidental shootings on police ranges. Unfortunately, it does happen. Every gun has to be treated as it's loaded. And when you're done with firing rounds at the target, you have to open that gun up. It has to be unloaded. The firearms instructor has to check it. These are rules and regulations that we have. Those are rules and regulations that they have. And if they don't follow them, what's the punishment? What's the repercussions? If you just say, oh, well, you didn't follow the rules. Yes, civilly, we're going to knock you down. But criminally, nothing? No.
Jeff, you're talking like a cop. You're not talking like a prosecutor.
I know. I do that sometimes.
Gee, I wonder why that would be.
and so my only retort to the Baldwin situation is, as a prosecutor, I think they would have to look long and hard at the fact of the reliability or the reliance on two trained, there for that very purpose, protection before they hand him a gun and the announcement of it's a cold gun. And so as a cop, I get it. It's, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. As a prosecutor, I think that that would weigh heavily against charging him. Notoriety understood, right? I mean, of course, it's a notorious situation with Alec Baldwin, but I think those events would well protect him. But I still think the failure to vet, to do the due diligence, and the hiring of people that had identical prior issues, I think that's where the exposure is for a lot of people.
I do too. I mean, this is a long drawn out investigation. A lot of people be interviewed. Fortunately, hopefully they got everybody's statement, the most important people that night, because that's when people tell the truth. They don't have a chance to collude with each other. They can't change their stories. They've got the evidence. They'll DNA the gun. They'll DNA the projectile, the shell casings. They'll test them for fingerprints. We're going to know who loaded the gun, whether they tell us or not. So there's a lot of work to be done on this case. Plus, they got to trace the gun and they've got to get it to firearms and do the ballistics. There's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, that there's going to develop a lot of inconsistent statements over the course of
the next month or two,
right? It's a sad situation. And you really, it's a perfect storm of horrific events. But as a law school test and as a movie scene test, there's a lot to be learned here.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Jeff and Michael, thank you so much, as usual, for all of your insight. As this keeps developing, we'll revisit this.
Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.